During the presidential campaign, Fox News host Sean Hannity was firmly behind Donald Trump. Hannity rallied support for Trump on his conservative TV and syndicated talk radio shows, and he'll most likely continue to do so throughout Trump's presidency. Jeremy Hobson recently spoke with Brian Rosenwald about this. Rosenwald is a fellow at the Robert A. Fox Leadership Program at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's writing a book about the rise of talk radio and its influence on politics. Jeremy began by pointing out that while many people associate Sean Hannity with his Fox News show, his radio audience is much bigger, about 12.5 million weekly listeners.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that the people sometimes forget in the political world is, while TV might be sexier, radio can often reach more listeners, and the audiences are intensely loyal. And Sean Hannity, his background is radio. Before he was doing TV, he was doing radio in Huntsville, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia. And a lot of these guys who do both will tell you they like radio more. They reach more people. They have more time. They like the medium better.
And you mentioned Huntsville, Alabama, and Atlanta, Georgia. Sean Hannity is from New York State. How did he become such a force in conservative talk radio?
Well, he started out, he actually flopped on a college radio station in Santa Barbara that was way to the left, where he went out there after he dropped out of college. And he admittedly says, look, I was terrible. And then he ended up starting his sort of rise in Huntsville, Alabama. And they migrated to Atlanta, and he was doing morning drive on a talk station down there. And then he did some TV work, and Roger Ailes discovered him. And he comes to New York to do Hannity and Combs and joins the powerhouse station on WABC. And he's there for a few years. And they decide in 2001, they're looking for syndicated stars, especially conservative ones. ABC Radio decides to syndicate Hannity, and they have him set up to go in a bunch of major markets. And he has the sort of fortune to have his national debut be September 10th, 2001.
Wow.
And obviously the next day sort of changes the face of the country, and the ratings for talk radio across the board skyrocket. People want to talk about it. They want to hear what other people are saying. It becomes kind of a virtual community. And people who had never heard Sean Hannity start to hear him. They like what they're hearing. And he sort of goes from there to become the number two guy in talk radio.
And he is so trusted by his listeners. I want to just listen to one little clip here that gives you a sense of this. This is a 90-year-old caller calling into Hannity's radio show.
So what else is on your mind today? You happy about the election results?
Oh, yes. I mean, I won't go with a walker, but I insisted that I had to go down and vote, and I voted for Trump. And I'm concerned that they're trying to undermine his win with the Electoral College. I know you're going to keep on that, though.
Listen, you don't have to worry. We're going to stay on it. As a matter of fact, we're going to check in with Blaise Ingolia. He is the chairman of the Florida Electoral College and the Republican Party down there. And there's all these people now intimidating members of the Electoral College and trying to get them to switch their votes. And there's even some death threats. So I promise you, we'll stay on it, okay?
He's like an advocate for his listeners in a very direct way. How did he gain their trust?
Absolutely. I mean, and I've heard callers say, thank God you're out there, Sean. We have a voice now. You know, there are some people who spend more time with their favorite talk radio host than they do with their spouses, people who are driving a truck all day or out on a tractor or doing some other job where they can listen 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. You know, 48, 50 weeks a year to the same person, they feel like they get to know that person. And that person reflects their views. And in a lot of cases for conservatives, that person punches back at people who they feel like are maligning them and scorning them and mistreating them.
Well, Hannity did find himself at odds with some conservative Republicans by being so openly supportive of Donald Trump during the primary. How did he develop an alliance with Trump?
Well, from what I've read, they have a friendship. Hannity and Trump know each other, and that there is a certain level of trust, whereas maybe the average conservative wouldn't have had that. But we have to understand that, first of all, Sean Hannity is maybe the most kind of loyal party guy on major talk radio. He might not like me saying that, but it's true. You know, when a campaign needs something, when a Republican congressman needs, you know, to get a message out or something, people know that if they call Sean, that he's kind of on the team, on the reservation. He was very clear. Look, I'm going to support whoever wins the primary. I think the best way to get conservative policy enacted is through the Republican Party. And the worst thing that could happen to the country is Hillary Clinton. And I think to some extent he kind of saw the tea leaves and understood that Donald Trump was likely to be the nominee. He could feel the kind of energy at the ground level because he was hearing it from his callers, you know, and he wasn't going to sit there and bludgeon the guy who was going to be the person taking on Hillary Clinton. And he said during the primary in a bunch of times, look, I'm not a journalist. This is not supposed to be journalism 101 where I fire the hardest questions at him. And I guarantee you that it doesn't matter who the Republican on with me is, they're going to face softer questions and easier questions than Hillary Clinton would face. And that's who I'd really grill. And I think he also, you know, hosts have a very good finger on the pulse of their audiences. You know, the people who really saw their ratings drop over the course of the campaign were those people who never came around and were never Trump. We also have to remember, in so much as Sean Hannity or as Donald Trump was the voice of kind of the blue collar white man who felt forgotten, Sean Hannity fits that demographically. He's son of a probation officer from Long Island who was a building contractor and a bartender. He dropped out of college. He is the sort of epitome of the kind of person in America who really Donald Trump's message really resonated with. And so we have to understand that message probably resonated with him pretty well.
Do you think that he influenced the election with his radio show and with his TV show among his audience?
I think that in the primary election, had people like Sean Hannity really been hardcore against Donald Trump from day one, you know, we're going back to 2015 here, they might have been able to knock him off in the primary. In terms of a general election, you know, people were bombarded on all sides with information. And usually I don't think talk radio has a huge influence in presidential general elections for that reason. But in this case, in so much as the key to the election or one of the keys was getting conservatives who had misgivings about either Trump's morals or his qualifications or some of what he said or some of the policies he supported to go out and vote for him. I think talk radio's kind of drumbeat of, you know, Hillary is worse and attacking her and keeping her emails front and center from day one for, you know, a year and a half, that helped drive those conservatives with misgivings back onto the reservation. And this is, you know, what Hannity and other talk radio hosts do at election time, which is they frame things in such a way and they keep their audience kind of understanding the stakes and why Republicans, whatever misgivings you might have, Republicans are still the best way to go.
But now the election is over and they don't have Hillary Clinton to kick around anymore. And now we get on to policy and issues of governing. And Sean Hannity is going to have to decide whether he is going to be a full-on Trump loyalist or if he's going to be more of a Republican Party loyalist if those two things diverge. I want to just listen to him on his show on December 12th, reacting to the news that the Russians were behind the hacking of the DNC and John Podesta's email accounts, which is intelligence that even Republicans John McCain and Lindsey Graham believe and have taken seriously. Here he is.
I've talked to Julian Assange on air, off air, on TV, on radio, and I've watched him give other speeches. And he categorically denies any of this came from Russia. Any of it. So, you know, unless and until we can prove it, I'm just assuming this is another liberal media fake news story that they're all falling for. And it's politically motivated, as evidenced by their lack of concern about hacking and cybersecurity over the years.
Is Hannity going to always side with Trump, do you expect? Or do you think that he's going to be more of a Republican Party loyalist?
I don't think he will always side with Trump. There will be issues where he and his audience get their backs up and are very upset with something that Trump did that because it was entirely too moderate for them. At the end of the day, when it comes time for the midterm elections or the 2020 presidential election, they're still going to say Republicans and Donald Trump, that's the way to go. But it's also important to note, you mentioned Lindsey Graham and John McCain. Well, those are people who, in the language of talk radio, are rhinos or Republicans in name only. They are insufficiently loyal and conservative as far as the talk radio audience is concerned. And I add one more point, which is that Donald Trump is kind of stylistically the candidate of talk radio. He is playing out of their playbook. He's preaching from their hymnal. They have the same understanding of how to communicate and the language that's going to draw attention and the sort of the black and white world. You're either with us or against us kind of thing. Trump kind of understands stylistically what has been so popular with the medium. You know, he was a frequent caller for several years to some talk radio programs. And he, you know, during the campaign, he talked to Hannity, felt like every day, but it was, you know, more like a few times a week. So I think Hannity is likely to be with them most of the time. And when he's not with them, it's going to be because he's insufficiently conservative on some issues that are important to Hannity and his audience.
That's Brian Rosenwald, who is an instructor and fellow at the Robert A. Fox Leadership Program at the University of Pennsylvania. He is currently working on a book about the rise of talk radio and its influence on politics. Brian, thanks so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Happy to do it.